Title of the message is The Good Crumbs of God. It is probably one of a very difficult passage. It is an example of what I see as a very poor translation of some words, and we will get into that. Mark 7, 24 to 30. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go, and the demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. I searched for a story, kind of a funny story to uplift and to start things off in a kind of a funny manner, and this is the best one I could come up with, and I hope it's not sexist. Early one morning, a woman made a mad dash from her house when she heard the garbage truck pulling away. She was still in her bathrobe. Her hair was wrapped around big curlers. Her face was covered with sticky cream. And she was wearing a chin guard or chin strap and a beat up old pair of slippers. In short, she was a frightful picture. When she reached the sidewalk, she cried out, "Am I too late for the garbage?" "No, hop right in." Now, the question I want to ask to start this message off, is that sexist? What do you say, Colin? Is that sexist? No. Okay. That's good. I want to start off with another story, an Aesop's fable. Aesop's fable, one I've actually remember as a child, and I've come to appreciate these stories a lot more. It's called The Lion and the Mouse. One day, a great lion lied asleep in the sunshine. A little mouse ran across his paw and wakened him. The great lion was just going to eat him up when the little mouse cried, "Oh, please don't let me go, sir. Someday I may help you." The lion laughed at the thought of a little mouse that could possibly be of any use to him. But he was a good-natured lion, and he set the mouse free. Not long after, the lion was caught in a net. He tugged and he pulled with all his might, but the ropes were too strong. Then he roared loudly, and the little mouse heard him and ran to the spot. "Be still, dear lion, and I will set you free. I will gnaw the ropes." And with his sharp little teeth, the mouse cut through the ropes, and the lion came out of the net. "You laughed at me once," said the mouse. "You thought I was too little to do you a good turn. But see, you owe your life to a poor little mouse." I want to talk today about the election a little bit in the beginning, if I may. I'm not going to suggest to you how to vote other than you should vote. Sometimes I think we think our vote is as small as a little mouse, but it has the power of a lion. I want to step back a little bit and take a look at where we are at this nation and ask, who is the lion and who is the mouse? In my opinion, it's very easy to align yourself with the right or the left and take up the battle lines and fire the talking points, the power statements at anyone who even begins to question what you think and believe. The vitriol and distaste that has been risen to this point has given to the point where no dialogue or discussion is barely hardly allowed. I have friends or a friend, but he's an example, who no matter what I say, he's not interested in a logical discussion of any sort. He's not going to change. Both sides have this problem. Another person I have, we have many discussions also, all of us, only looks in the short term in front of him and says it's good now. Doesn't see no further than that. Who is the lion and who is the mouse? It's not so easy these days to decide the answers to these questions. Both sides are roaring like a big lion. Healthcare, abortion, LGBTQ people, immigration, are just some of the huge issues that are on the plate. How can this nation be led by fear? The fear of lies and untruth. How can this be good for anyone? Both sides are doing it. Again, who is the lion and who is the mouse? Do we have to take one side or the other? I am an independent. I already voted. I voted absentee. I'm not going to tell you how I voted. It's none of your business. I see good in both sides. I see there is problems that takes both sides of the aisle to come together. There are many people who are like me, but are afraid to stand up. I remember Rush Limbaugh years ago talking about if you stand in the middle of the road, watch out, you're going to get run over. Well, I may be in the middle of the road, and I may have traffic coming at me both ways, but I'm not going to get run over. I think we need to step back and to look at some of these issues with an open mind, the willingness to compromise, the willingness to give a little, to show some compassion and some understanding. I think, as I was discussing with Colleen on the way over, and as awful as this sounds, I think it's a fight for the male, white male, to retain his power. When I hear the words, make America great again, as if it was never great, it was great. It is great. It's constantly changing and constantly moving into the future. To imply to go back to a time and when we were great implies to me when white man was supreme. I'm sorry, that's what it implies to me. When was the time when we were great? I thought we were always a great nation. Why can't we travel to new and different places? Why can't we travel to better places? Where both sides come together. We are changing, no matter whether we like it or not. We are a multicultural nation. Go travel around. you'll see it. It's big. We have issues. There are new voices at the table. Women are voting and running for offices by the groves. There are probably somewhere here in my notes I have where there are various women and people of color and scientists are actually running. 400 and some, I think they claim it to be, running for offices across this country. There is change coming. We can't think the old way. We have to move on, as we discussed in the dinner. There has to be new options, new ways. I was down in North Carolina this week. I traveled from Charlotte over across to Raleigh. The pollution was unbearable. I couldn't believe how nasty it stank. Car fumes were worse than Jersey. And this is not the first time. It was really bad. I don't know if they have any kind of regulations on their inspections on their vehicles down there, but it stank bad. We need regulations. Yes, it did. Massive amounts of vehicles, massive. Cars everywhere, constantly. Hundreds of miles of just nothing but three lanes on both sides, four lanes on both sides, and building bigger. There has to be a different way. There has to be a different way. We need solutions to problems. The next generation, I am convinced, will change things. From the 40 on down, are beginning to change things. I read an article, or I get an update on my phone on the New York Times, and there was an article called in there, God is going to have to forgive me. And it was about a story about they went across the country, and there was about 1,500 young evangelicals answered the question about how they felt in today's world. And many of them, they gave about four or five different examples. Many of the young, I'm talking about 18, 20 years olds, do not believe the traditional evangelical way of thinking. They don't even believe in some of their dogma and doctrine. They're not stepping in line with the evangelical point of view of that we are following the Republicans and that's all we do. This has caused schisms within their own family. This is where we're at. Families struggle to stay together because they think differently. Many are afraid, even as they gave their sent in a written interview. They're afraid to express themselves, even within their family. Many struggle with the administration that is hostile to immigrants, Muslims, the LGBTQ community, and the poor. They just don't see that the old ways are as what they should be. They don't even see them as being, they conflict with their spiritual call. What they have been raised spiritually to believe, that it conflicts with that. But they also believe that President Trump has achieved some of their biggest goals, curbing abortion and advancing religious liberties. I'm not quite sure I go along with that, but that's okay. Many see themselves neither as Republican nor Democrat, somewhere in the middle. They see themselves as kind of a silent majority that don't necessarily have a voice. Again, I ask, where is the lion and where is the mouse? The story that Aesop's fable is not about one or the other winning. It's about each one working together. They needed each other. We need each other. It's good to think different. I think that's healthy, to express your differences. What would have happened if the lion ate the mouse? He would have killed himself. I think in some ways, or both would have suffered anyway. In some ways, that's where we're at now. We're kind of eating ourselves, kind of lost in our own outlandishness. I have learned to appreciate these stories as each week I dig into the scripture even more so, deeper than I've ever understood it. The Aesop's fables, I think sometimes I learned them and heard many of them in my childhood and just kind of said, okay. But you have to stop and you have to look and you have to listen, you have to delve into it, you have to dig down into it. Many of our issues that we have to deal with deserve a lot more attention than they're getting. The power of an idea. There are crumbs of the old and crumbs of the new. I think there's a deterioration of the old and a beginning of the new. Isn't this somewhat, this is where I'm going to go with the scripture here in a couple minutes. Both crumbs, beginning of new and the ending of an old. Different faiths are going to play a great part of this nation. The feminine is going to play a big part. How are we going to feel about that? Colleen and I talked about it. How are we going to feel? If you came into this community and it was, and you were a minority, how would you feel? Are you willing to openly reach out and say, yes, that's okay? We're heading in that direction. We live way out here in the country where it doesn't bother us that much. It's easiest for us to sit back and say whatever we want to say. I go into a lot of areas where I'm the odd person out. And I'll be quite frank, I pay attention. This is part of my protection mechanism. Many people are nice. Many, many. They're beautiful. People that I feel guilty about by thinking about, I look at their appearance and they kind of set me back a little different. That's what different does to us. I'm ashamed at myself sometimes of some of the things I think when I find out how nice these other people are. We are afraid of different. If we're honest with ourselves, we are afraid of it. There's no question about it. But change is coming. What is happening today in the scripture? Jesus went, he left from the Sea of Galilee area. He went over close to the coast to Tyre. Tyre is a seaport. It is Tripoli now, I think is called, if I remember right. And it is a large seaport. And Tyre, at the time of when Israel and Solomon's fall, when after Solomon's reign, Israel was soon after that was taken over by Babylon, and Tyre was very happy to see Israel fall. So when Jesus went over to Tyre, it was not the most friendliest place that Jewish people were accepted. He was stepping out of his norm into a different world other than his Jewish world. But I don't really believe that Jesus administered to strictly the Jewish people. I know that. The Sea of Galilee area was a mix of people, and Jesus went to administer to them who were not acceptably normal or fit into any particular category. I think he went to the least of other people to start off with. I think that's where his ministry was all along. And so when he went up there to visit, to get away, he met this woman whose daughter was possessed. Now, the phrase, "I must first let the children eat all they want." You first let the children eat all you want. In some cases, some people believe that refers to Israel. In other words, Jesus had to go to visit the Jewish people first and then the Gentile people. And this verse, if you look at it kind of literally, looks like Jesus was very judgmental. That he even called people less than dogs. That's a very poor translation. There is a verse in Samuel, 2 Samuel, or verses, in which Nathan went to visit David, and he went, and David had committed a sin. I think he had taken someone else's wife. So Nathan went to him and said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. This is the example I believe that Jesus is referring to. Not to an outside dog that you would throw something to that you don't want. It's the love of a daughter or a son to a pet, an inside pet, and which shares everything. Now, I don't know about you, but my little dog, Bella, our little dog, Bella, she sits and I share my food with her. She knows it. She comes up and begs, and I'm going to share her bits along the way as I eat. And at the end, I make sure she has a piece while I'm eating my last piece. We share our food. I'm sorry. I love my dog, and that's the way it is. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here, I believe. It's not that this Greek person was less than. It was a love, that Jesus had a love for both Israel and the Gentile people. That's hard to see in this text. It really is hard to see in this text. And so there's a sense of, I must first go do this, and then I must go do that. Then it is, and you're both loved, only in different ways. I think that's what it portrays. It's a really hard passage to speak from, to make any kind of sense out of it, and to show that love exists in this text. Says even the dogs under the table eat the child's crumbs. What I found interesting also is the woman's response. She didn't just sit back and say, oh, okay. She was quick, right there on top, ready to go, gave Jesus an argument. Isn't that what the feminine should do? I think so. Yes, Sam.
I think you're referring to that. Men all try to feed the dogs, and the women, even though they love the dog more than the man, they tell them they ain't supposed to do it. My kids, anyway.
Yeah, we feed them anyway, right? Yeah.
And they have to sneak it to the dog.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who don't want their dogs, you know, close to them while they're eating and all this kind of stuff, and they don't let them eat people food. But that's not what I see in this text. My little dog, I'm sorry, I spoilt rotten. And
she don't pester
me. She'll sit there and look at me like, you know, I mean, it's like, how can you resist? I think this is what is more portrayed in the text than an outside dog in which you throw your scraps to. It's a sense of love that is in this text that is certainly missing. We call an early infatuation of love puppy love. And it's kind of that sense that we, you know, you have this wrapped up love. I'm really not going to go much further than that. I don't know if anybody has any comments that they want to say. I would say vote tomorrow or Tuesday. It is your right to do that. There's a lot of people who have died so we can have that privilege. I'm not really sure where the nation is going to go, and I don't think anybody really knows. But we can do our little part. We can be our little mouse that does a little part. We can share the love and compassion and of our ideas, what we have, in a loving way. Look at this church here. We don't all agree. We don't all agree a lot of times. Come to some of our Sunday school discussions sometimes. You'll see. But yeah, we still love one another. It is possible to have great strength with diversity. And that I will say amen.
Crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to give all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart.
For the Savior of the world, we give and we pray. Amen.